This is the Ripple Effect with your girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.
Have been enjoying these last 3 weeks as much as I have, and of course I'm referring to the NFL. I mean, basketball's always been my first love, if you guys know me, you know, at all. When it comes to the NBA, that's my thing. NFL is something I fell in love with maybe 10 years ago, so it wasn't like, you know, my whole life, but these past 3 weeks, I feel like if I saw games like this, you know, 25 years ago, oh, forget it. I would have been in the game a lot sooner. These games, the AFC championship game, the NFC championship game, lived up to its hype. Because remember, yeah, they're there to play a sport. They're trying to win. They're trying to get to that championship. But we want to be entertained, right? Come on. You guys want to be entertained. And we were entertained. But we're going to get right into it. NFL is lit city. I'm glued. Usually I step away, get a snack, beer, what have you. But no. You better make sure everything is in front of you before the game starts. Don't play around. You will miss a highlight. Because pretty much these whole games have been highlights. Mainly the second half, we'll say that. But all right, we're going to get started. Save the best for last. Deal? Cool. So we're going to start with the Bengals and the Chiefs. We're going to start off with Joe Cool. Joe, man, Joe Burrow. Like I said, if you guys have been paying attention to this kid last year, you saw glimpses of greatness, right? I know it's so hard to say great. It's like, yo, it's his first year. What do you expect? We thought that of Patrick Mahomes. Look what happened last night, right? No, but that doesn't mean that he's not going to come up short in big games in his career. It happens. It happened to Tom Brady, the GOAT. It happens. But here's the thing. I know he's definitely young. I mean, what, he won the national title with LSU maybe 3 years ago? If that, maybe a little less. It's hard to fathom that, and just knowing that he's going to the Super Bowl. And just so you know, he will be the, if he does win the Super Bowl, he will be the first to ever do it. When I mean the first, I mean first winner, Heisman Trophy winner, national championship winner, and Super Bowl champion. Let that sink in. To accomplish those. I mean, it's so young in your career. I mean, the sky's the limit after that, you know? But the way this guy is so poised, because if you guys were watching the first half of that game, it looked like it was over. I know how a lot of people are talking today, acting like, oh yeah, we knew the Bengals were going to win. Oh yeah. I didn't hear anybody saying that at halftime. I didn't hear anybody saying, oh, there's going to be a comeback. Joe Burrow, Mixon, Chase, their defense, they're going to stop Patrick Mahomes. I didn't hear any of that. Everybody was pretty much quiet, which I do appreciate because at the end of the day, you never know what's going to happen. But you know me, I like to narrate the games, and that's kind of what I do. So, you know, it just makes the game a little bit more interesting. But throughout the game, you saw a lot. You saw old Patrick Mahomes, right? But that's supposed to be the good thing. That's Showtime Mahomes. That's what we want to see. These deep passes down to the cheetah, right? Tyreek Hill. We love seeing that. Good old reliable Kelce in the clutch coming through, you know, with the short pass, the pass that, you know, he doesn't necessarily like to make all the time because, you know, he has a cannon, so he just wants to sling the ball downfield, and that's cool. But here's the thing. Teams are on to that. How do we know this? They had a really bad loss against the Titans, the Chiefs I'm talking about. I think they only put up, like, what, 3 points, if that? And that's because the defense was on to Patrick Mahomes. Those deep passes weren't going to fly anymore. So he had to learn throughout the season, right, through trials and tribulations. You know, they had to lose some games. They had to look like they weren't even going to be in the playoffs until all of a sudden the team got hot at the right time. The team made adjustments. Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, they all made adjustments. Eric Bieniemy, they made adjustments. They said, yo, Patrick, we love that connection between you and Tyreek Hill. Heck, who doesn't if you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan? But you can't expect that every game, every down, I mean. Maybe, you know, you could throw a couple of them in there. You know, I like to watch it. Who doesn't? But you can just tell Cincinnati just had their number. Cincinnati did a really good job during halftime, stayed poised because of their leader, Joe Cool, right? They said, listen, even on defense, they said, listen, game ain't over. Just sit tight, relax. Put the pressure on Patrick. He's not going to be able to run around forever. I'm telling you. Patrick Mahomes' O-line had me fooled. I was like, man, this O-line is definitely different from last year, which it is to an extent. But they were looking really good in the first half. But it was a totally different story in the second half. I mean, they were like a totally different offensive line. I mean, the Bengals were just getting after Patrick, getting after him, forcing him to make these decisions a lot quicker, even scrambling. Even after scrambling, there's guys out there, I mean, DBs staying with Tyreek Hill. I mean, how tiring must that be? But they knew that's what they had to do in order to get the job done. And I love how they just stuck with that philosophy no matter what. Because, like I said, at the half, Patrick Mahomes' numbers, 18-21. Completion, 222 yards, 3 touchdowns. Some of y'all like that QBR rating, 149.9. A lot of people thought this game was over, and all they wanted the Bengals to do was to make it a game, make it competitive, do something, especially on offense. Well, they did. In surprising fashion at the end of the day, because when you look at everything that the Bills have had, I mean, the Bills, we wish, right? The Bengals, everything that they had to have overcome this whole season. But in a way, I think when you're in that type of situation as a young quarterback, that's like the best situation for you to be in, to be kind of under the radar, right? Not people kind of saying, I'm not sold on the Bengals yet. Yeah, they won a couple games. Okay, that's cute. But they're not going to be my Super Bowl pick. You know, until they make the playoffs, right? And then as soon as they start to rattle off a couple of wins, you like, wait. They got a run game. They got a good defense. They got a good quarterback that doesn't turn the ball over. Uh-oh. We have a Super Bowl caliber team. It just kind of sucks because we kind of realized that a little late. Some people may have seen it, glimpses, but if I don't see it, I'm not believing you. It's easy to say, oh, I had them. Okay. Okay, you say you did. I mean, whatever. Good for you. I didn't see that coming. I saw that that was a team that you might not want to play. It's the same thing with the 49ers. I saw them as being a hard-nosed team that they're really aggressive, very physical, and you don't want to play them because any given Sunday. But, you know, the Bengals definitely snuck up on us. But, I mean, people will argue, what's the bigger story? I'm going to tell you like this. If the game was pretty close throughout and the Bengals just happened to pull it off, because that's just pretty much what we've been watching, games coming down real close at the end, and one team just, it's just that extra possession, that extra play, you know, makes key stops, and that's what gets the job done, then I would have said this is the story of the Bengals, right? The story of nobody's seen this coming. I mean, like I said, Heisman Trophy winner, national title winner in LSU. Guys about to go to the Super Bowl. Like, what? Coming back from a season-ending injury last year, your first year in the NFL, your first taste of, I mean, that type of money, that type of recognition, you know, people talking about you on ESPN and everywhere you turn. That's a lot of pressure. And then you felt the downside of football, which is the injuries, right? And you had to go through the rehab and the comeback. And you did that not only so gracefully, so smooth. Like, I mean, this dude is really just smooth, right? Like, he's just one of those guys that does not get rattled. I mean, you would think that he wouldn't be as poised, right? Especially in the pocket. I mean, how many times is he even scrambling? I was like, at one point, I was like, yo, I mean, you're taking a page out of Patrick Mahomes' book, right? Just the way he was scrambling, moving out of the pocket. I'm like, oh, this dude can move. And, man, what was it, Chris Williams not getting that sack? He ain't going to be sleeping for a while. Probably going to take a minute. I don't think I would sleep for a week after knowing if I had made that sack, things would have been so different. But you got to admire Joe Burrow and what he has done for that franchise. And not to say that, you know, Mixon and Chase and all these guys like didn't have a part in it, especially the defense. You got to shout out to the defense for shutting down, you know, Patrick Mahomes, making him go back to the style of football he doesn't like to play. But I say all that to say this. This story is clearly about the Chiefs. It's about the Chiefs, guys. It's because this is the team that was up 21-10 at the half. 21-10. And if you just watch the game. I know it's not that big of a lead, but it just looked like the Bengals didn't have a chance. I mean, Patrick Mahomes was just on a roll. I mean, anywhere he threw it, he was connected. He only missed, what, three? Three, like, that's it. I mean, some of them were drops, some of them were just incomplete pass, whatever. But when you really look at it, we expected the Chiefs to go to the Super Bowl. Most of us did. Sure, they had their problems in the beginning of the season, but we thought they made those adjustments. We thought they learned from that. But I might also point out that we are also spoiled too, right? Because Patrick Mahomes really hasn't been in the league that long, and the time that he has been in the league, he's been winning. So we are just a little spoiled and just kind of used to him winning. So whenever he doesn't, and we're just like, oh, my God, like, you know, he's terrible. Because the people in the beginning of the season, you guys were killing Mahomes. You guys were acting like he was just a scrub. And I'm just like, okay, I mean, hyperbole much. But let's come back to earth and kind of just, you know, reexamine things and just realize that, guys, watch film. This is why film session is so important. This is why they do it more often than they actually do, you know, practicing. Like, actually physical, putting on pads. And, you know, It's a lot more than that. You have to understand the game, especially as a quarterback. You have to understand coverages. You have to understand how defenses are playing you. So that way you can make those necessary adjustments and not just do whatever it is that you want to do. You got to do what the defense gives you. And you saw what they weren't giving you. So there's the end result. But this isn't the end of the world. Okay, the Chiefs didn't go to the Super Bowl, but they really need to work on making adjustments and sticking to the game plan and seeing what won you games in the second half of the season and what cost you games. Because when Patrick was trying to do too much, like you saw it, he just looked out of control. He looked frazzled, sort of like the way Aaron Rodgers looked. Which is surprising because we're not used to using those words, you know, those adjectives trying to describe these guys, because these guys are championship pedigree. Usually the way you describe them, even if in a loss, it's usually not their fault. It's usually just, you know, it just didn't go our way. You know, something else happened. It wasn't because they looked so fragile and they were trying to do too much. I mean, it was just... Wow, I mean, I'm still surprised. Happy for the Bengals. Happy for Joe Burrow. I mean, everybody loves a story like that, because this is the making of greatness. It truly is. And to think about that, we're not going to have, you know, Tom Brady because of his retirement, and we'll get a little bit more into that because I know nothing has been completely confirmed, but... At the same time, I just think Tom Brady wants to make the announcement when he wants to. And there's other things that factor into that that I'll let you guys in on. But also Aaron Rodgers, you know, maybe a year, two, he might play more. I mean, it's just nice to know that we have Josh Allen's. We have, you know, even, you know, Patrick Mahomes is still a stud, guys. You know, rough day at the office for sure. But it don't mean that he's not going to come back and do what he's got to do. I mean, not everybody ends up in, you know, championship games every round. So, come on. Don't get too spoiled. But we got Joe Burrow. Like, I'm telling you, the future for the NFL is awfully bright. But shout out to the Bengals, man. That was crazy win. All right. I told you I'll say the best for last when it comes to these games. It's definitely the... Rams and the 49ers. Man. The leadership that Aaron Donald showed late in the game, got all the defensive guys together. I mean, you just saw him on the sideline saying, hey, come here. Come here. You. Stop talking. Come here. You. Get your head up. Get your head in the game. Brought them all together. Huddled up. Just a defense. Gave the most passionate speech. I mean... Obviously, I wasn't in the huddle, so I don't know what he was saying, but I can see the passion. I can see him letting guys know to take accountability, to let them know that if you're trying to go to the Super Bowl, it happens here and now, not later. We got to lay it all out on the field. At the end of the day, no matter what happens, they're not going to say it's because of us. We're not going to let this happen, not in our house. Look what happened to the Chiefs. At Arrowhead, that's not the way you want it. You wanted to see a sea of red. You want to see a sea of blue. You want to see everybody disappointed. Everybody looking at you. But more importantly, you ask any athlete, they play for each other. That accountability comes from the locker room. Holding guys accountable. Understanding the moment. Understanding that, yo, I got your back if you got mine. You do your job so I can do mine. This is where legends are born. You know, this is what people are going to be talking about all week. Possibly 2 weeks, because the Pro Bowl's on and let's face it, nobody really watches that. So in case you're looking for commentary for that, you're probably not going to get him, sorry. Unless it's like an overwhelming, you know, consensus that you want me to make a podcast about it. But I wouldn't expect that one. So it's now or never, guys. And when they rallied, they got together, and they made that stop. Big. Big. Late in the game, where they needed it most, because most of us were saying the same thing. Please do not let Jimmy G get to the Super Bowl. Please. Please don't do it. And that is not to say that the rest of the 49ers don't deserve it. Because I do not want to see a mediocre quarterback in the Super Bowl again. We had that with Jared Goff. I don't want to see that. It's so bad. And we knew Jimmy G was not going to disappoint. And it was so funny because I'm in my living room with my family watching the game. And when Jimmy started to look so frazzled on that last play, all I did was jump up and clap my hands and say, oh, it's interception time. Oh, it's coming. I could just feel it. It's in the air. You know, Jimmy, he's ready. He's ready to throw that interception. And I was just waiting for it. Because you can just see it. The jitteriness, not sure on what's going on, what the defense is about to come at you with. Because you see the aggression. I'm sure you must have saw that Aaron Donald came in with a little bit more passion than usual. You know, you got Von Miller on the outside. I mean, it will. He knew. And there you have it. A lot of people want to point to the fact that what cost them the game was that field goal miss and how that sucked a lot of energy out of them. Speaking of 49ers, you could say that. That's fair. I don't think that's the story, though. The reason what cost the 49ers the game? Why don't you ask Deebo Samuels? What cost the 49ers the game was y'all not giving him the ball for like 12 minutes. If you guys don't remember that, there was a good 12 minutes where Deebo Samuels did not get the ball. How? Should be the only question you should be asking right now. How? Are the 49ers even in the playoffs without Deebo Samuels? No. Are they even in a divisional game? Nope. Are they in a championship game without Deebo Samuels? No. So we're going to not go with Deebo Samuels, the guy who's gotten us thus far. And we're trying to go to the Super Bowl, so we're not going to use our best guy. Okay. We're going to stick with Jimmy G. Okay. Now, people speak very highly of Kyle Shanahan. And until I started to dive real deep into exactly who this guy was and why he's such an offensive guru, I see why he is. He actually is. But, man, does he pick key times to mess up. It's usually in the fourth. I think where his genius comes in is throughout the game. But when it's in crunch time, when you need it the most close games, he doesn't seem to be that guy. Because the decision-making, I don't know. I mean, I could say the same thing about Eric Bieniemy too. Late game, when they decided to give the ball to Tyreek Hill, thinking that he was going to get into the end zone instead of just going for the field goal, I don't know what they were thinking, because that wasn't even Tyreek Hill's strength, really, especially when he has double coverage and he needs to, I don't know, they were like running him as like a tight end type. I don't know what they were thinking with that one. That looked like that wasn't going to work. But it's the same thing with Kyle Shanahan. Late in the game, I don't know, the play calling, that decision making, it didn't add up. But the story about the Rams, It's Hollywood, right? It writes itself. Matthew Stafford, 13 years playing in Detroit, right? Detroit Lions, who are they? I don't know. People only really talk about them when it's Thanksgiving. I don't know how they're on every Thanksgiving anyway, but that's neither here nor there, is it? But the story about the Rams, I mean, Matthew Stafford, let's see his numbers. 333 yards. Man's got two touchdowns, but here's the problem. He had that one interception. Now, I'm not going to be overly critical because he had a decent game. But I believe like that's what made this game so close. Like, everybody just wants to celebrate and move on, but it's not going to be that easy when you're in a Super Bowl. Like, you got to tighten that up. Because if it does come down to one possession, or if it comes down to overtime, you're putting yourself at a real, real, real disadvantage here. Meaning, I'll even go back to the Chiefs game real quick, because I didn't even go into detail much about it, about how they did go into overtime. Like, that's what even made it more exciting, because we were just talking about the overtime rules. How everybody comes, you know, to the logo, right? Middle of the field. Oh, refs are like, it's a new game. It's not really a new game. You know, it's probably it's a different type of game, you know, because there's different rules. Whatever. But we were just talking about how unfair, right? Or maybe they just need to change it, because maybe both offenses need to touch the ball, right? Because that coin toss is everything. I know everybody was holding their breath. They yelled heads, right? Kansas City gets the ball. Everybody's like, Chiefs are going to win. That's it. You know Patrick Mahomes only need 13 seconds. He gets the ball starting first. Oh, no. It's over. It's over, right? But here's the thing. Overconfidence in doing too much. That's when that gets you into trouble late in the game. When the defense really wants to step it up, because everybody hears the noise around, you know, the overtime rules and how it's not fair. And if you're a defensive player, that's got to make you feel some sort of way. You know, like, what do you mean? Like, we're out there on the field. Like, they still have to score. They still got to go through somebody. They still have to make their plays. Like, don't act like, you know, it's just a free play and just because they win the toss, they win. Well, the Bengals proved that, right? They proved that the coin toss don't matter. They proved that. Because according to the overtime rules, as long as either team, as long as both teams get the football on offense, you can hit the field goal and that you can win the game just like that. And it's like, instead of making the smart throws, understanding how the defense is playing you, I mean, everything was just, I got to throw it downfield. I got to, you know, I got to do it now. I got to do it my way. Not just win the game. I want to win my way. And I think that's where Patrick went wrong. I think that's where he probably should have slowed down, really understood what the defense was trying to do. Because ultimately, they made the play to win the game. And that was a very costly interception that Mahomes made, because you just can't turn the ball over. I mean, all these games that we're talking about, the reason why they're so good, the reason why they're so entertaining, because they all came down to like one possession. Whether it was an overtime or not, they all came down to one possession. and the defense stepped up. More importantly, Money Mac stepped up, right? I mean, rookie kicker, again. Man, his, all I know is his agent, man, better set him up with some contract, because, I mean, I hope the incentives in there are, because he's earned, I mean, he's checked every box, right? But that just goes to show you, if you stick to the game plan, you don't let it get away from you, you don't get too caught up in the game to the point where, I mean, I almost don't blame Patrick Mahomes. I mean, because it's worked for him, right? I mean, it worked last game. You 13 seconds. I mean, you did something spectacular. I don't think anybody's ever going to forget that. Like, that's going to be ingrained. So, naturally, you're thinking, I could pull it off again. Who's to say I can't? Who's going to stop me? I'm Patrick Mahomes. I'm Showtime Mahomes. But any given Sunday, that's all I can say. Heck of a game. Both games. Both games. But to switch it back to the Rams, I mean, Rams, it was a collective effort, not to mention on defense, special teams, offense. I mean, you're gonna hear about Cooper Kupp, because he's been an absolute stud. Best in the NFL at the wide receiver position, right? I mean, this dude is a beast. Old reliable. I think he had like over 140. He had 142 yards catching. I mean, from off 11 catches, 2 touchdowns. You know, that's regular. You know, but don't forget about Odell. He had like 9 catches. He had over 100 yards, guys. I think he had like 119 yards. So understand that even though that they didn't have Woods, you know, which was a big loss to the Rams, but they were so smart for picking up Odell. Because without Odell, understand that the Rams don't win this game. Those third down conversions that Odell made look easy for y'all, it's like sometimes when some people are so talented and they give it to you all the time, right, and they make it look so easy, people really do take it for granted. Like, almost like they don't believe their eyes. Like, they're kind of just like, yeah, we've seen this before, no big deal. Like, okay. Like, no, the dude is great, the dude is talented. And this leads me to the next conversation. So this whole Odell is a cancer in the locker room conversation needs to just be deaded. Like, y'all need to stop. Dude came from nothing. Like, a lot of these dudes get handed $1 million to play a sport that they love. Now, he happens to be an elite athlete, playing in New York, getting drafted in New York. All eyes on you. Everybody pulling them here, there, everywhere. We want to sign you. We want a picture. We want this. We want that. Celebrities want to be near them. That's a lot for a 22, 23-year-old kid. You need to understand that. So when he made mistakes in New York, even the way he left, even on the sideline, why is it so hard to understand that he made mistakes? Weren't criminal mistakes. He made mistakes, sure. He was immature. I think he would even be the first person to tell you that. Those are different things that he had to learn and grow through, you know? Not just go through. No, he had to grow through them. It happens. But through those mistakes, it's just so crazy to me how people can just label this guy as a cancer. Like, do you know what a cancer is to a locker room? Like, you can't be so quick to throw that word out there. You know, we can't just get so caught up. because you may not like him for whatever reason, maybe your own insecurities or whatever, for whatever reason you don't personally like him, because you don't really know him to not like personally like him or dislike him. But I'm just saying, like, I don't understand that. Because me, I will take passion over someone who's just going through the motions every day, appearing not to care. So, I mean, that's just me. I mean, everybody has their preference. But my whole point is, don't call a guy a cancer just because it didn't work out in New York. Okay, it was too much. And when you're that great, greatness demands greatness. He wasn't around greatness, so naturally he was acting out and didn't have the tools necessarily as someone who's a little bit older, mature, been there, done that, probably would act, right? And he also has a different personality, right? He has that out there personality that, you know, it's not exactly easy to control all the time. So he went with Baker, right? Another kind of celebrity type of guy that everybody wants to be around. I feel like Baker's more great at the celebrity thing than he is at the QB thing. But, you know, I think that was kind of proven. But so when he was there, I mean, if you watched any of the Browns games, or you didn't even have to. Odell's father actually made a whole highlight reel about 15, 20 minutes, you know, of all these different downs where Odell was clearly open and didn't get the ball from Baker Mayfield. Clearly. So we don't know why. We don't know if there was something going on, you know, but I can't imagine somebody being so emotional to the point where they're like, you know what, I don't like you, so I'm not going to throw you the ball, even though it's going to make me look good. Like, you know, I'm hoping that that's not the reason. I'm just hoping that he was just not good enough to get Odell the ball where he needed to be. That's kind of where I'm going with it. And sure, you're going to have guys that like Odell, and you're going to have guys that don't like him. But from what I've read, from what I've seen through interviews and a lot of research, he's not exactly what the media likes to make you think that he is, you know, and the media is very savvy and very good at that. So if you're not keen or you're not willing to do the deeper dive, I can see how you can get confused and lost. But at the end of the day, he's clearly not a cancer to a locker room. He is very passionate about winning. He has grown beyond the antics, because I have not seen any antics that have cost his team yards or penalties or anything like that since New York, actually. The Browns, I feel like he's been relatively quiet besides that highlight reel. But even then, he was still quiet. I mean, that's what his father chose to do. I mean, maybe that's what any parent would do when they see their kid is in trouble and they necessarily can't say anything, because whenever they do say something, you tend to be the one that's, you know, in trouble when you're kind of just highlighting what's been going on. So, I mean, I get it. Then you come over to the LA Rams. I mean, people don't understand. Like, have you looked at a playbook? Like, even on a college level, like, it's not easy to learn. It's really not. I know a lot of people like to say, oh, athletes, you know, dumb jocks, whatever. I'm like, you guys are bugging. You guys are bugging. Like, I'm not trying to say everybody's smart, but everybody's not smart anyway. So it doesn't matter what field you're in, you know. But it's hard to learn in a very short period of time a whole offense. And Odell has been getting better week by week by week. And there is no antics. There's just nothing but discipline, study, and you see it out there on the field. This is not even something that, you know, that you need to even go crazy about and need to actually interview him personally to know. If you study the game and you watch it enough, you watch the routes that he runs, you see what he was willing to do. I mean, he was trying to block Joey Bosa, you know, for heaven's sakes, like, you know, last night. Didn't go as planned, but, I mean, but this is what this guy does. You know, he is a team guy. He does want to win. Sure, of course he wants to get catches. Who doesn't? I mean, show me a wide receiver who doesn't want catches, and I don't want that guy on my team. But the bottom line is, give credit where credit is due. And I say all that to say this. At the end of the game, Rams win. Deebo Samuel's upset. I mean, when I mean upset, I mean emotional towel over his head. You know, watching all the confetti fall. You know, they're over there celebrating trophies, whatever. And remember, they're in SoFi. So they're in L.A., you know. So he's really feeling it because he didn't get the ball for 12 minutes. And, you know, he watched his quarterback throw away the ball. And, I mean, and he was the one who got them there. So to feel, so he felt the weight of the season, it appeared. And what does Odell Beckham Jr. do? Instead of immediately celebrating, right, he goes over to Deebo Samuels and he talks to him. Now, I don't know what that conversation was. You know, I wasn't there. No idea. But if I were to guess, it probably went a little something like this. Yo, Deebo, stay up, man. Trust me, I've been there. You know, I had Baker. He didn't even throw me the ball at all. Yo, come to L.A. Or who knows? Or maybe they're trying to team up somewhere else. Because remember, Odell's going to be a free agent after this season. So, I don't know. I don't know if he's going to be too expensive to keep him. Because Cooper Kupp is the number one. He's the number one guy in L.A. So, all jokes aside. So, don't be surprised if they find a way to either team up together or to at least say, listen, you have a bad quarterback. Like, it is what it is. I'm not saying, like, he is, like, the like Jimmy G is, like, the worst of the worst, but certain moments, it kind of feels that way, right? It kind of feels that way. I mean, he's just not good. I'm sorry, but he's not good. I mean, y'all almost didn't get past the Cowboys because of him. I mean, you can guarantee that Jimmy G is going to mess up the game at some point for you guys. And I believe Odell Beckham Jr. went over to Samuels because he was like, yo, trust me, I understand. But I made the decision that was best for me at that point in time. And now I'm headed to the Super Bowl. So meaning, there's light at the end of the tunnel. Like, I understand that it's bad now. Because remember, he was with Cleveland for 2 years. Because I know people probably really don't forget. Because he was injured a good amount of the time. But he gave it all he got. So he suffered for 2 years. And did everything that he could, you know, to get on the same page with Baker. And it just didn't work out. So I think that's why he kind of went over to Samuels and was kind of like, yo, I get it, dude. Like, you're going to feel it for a little bit, but after a while, the off season is going to come. You're going to put that work in. You're going to stay disciplined, and, you know, then it's going to be a whole new season. But Jimmy G's got to go. I don't see him staying. I think it'll be crazy for the 49ers to keep him because the 49ers have been brilliant. Brilliant. And just to watch that, just slip away. I mean, also there was actually another interception actually too, that actually could have sealed the game for San Fran, but it was dropped. When the ball is right in your hands, man, you gotta catch that. You gotta catch. I mean, that's the trophy right there. That's the trophy. But I fear that because these games have been so good, that they won't live up. Like, the Super Bowl is, like, it's impossible. Like, how are you going to live up to this hype? Like, how? Like, is that even possible at this point? But I guess we're going to find out. Super Bowl is February 13th. I'm going to be doing a special February 14th. Yeah, so make sure y'all tune in and check that out. But let's get a little bit back to Tom Brady, right? Retired 22 years. I don't want to get too crazy about it. So we're just going to talk about it briefly because there's some speculation out there between his father and also his agent saying, wait, we never said that. I understand that. I understand why you guys would think that, because he did say on a podcast about spending more time with his family and just realizing when it's time to not necessarily call it quits, but he was dancing around it, but you know where he was going. And if you watch Man of the Arena, you know, he's pretty much just talking about his whole career in a sense. And he's also getting more into his businesses, spending more time with it. And as you know, Tom puts 100% into everything that he does. So I can't imagine him still carrying on with football at the age of 44, still with all these different endeavors that he's trying to pursue. And here's a little tidbit in case you didn't know this. So he's actually owed $15 million. So he can't get that unless he actually stays until at least, I believe it's June. You know, so this has to do with cap and everything else. I'm learning a lot about that. So eventually I'll add a little bit more of that into my show. But so for him to retire like right now, he would lose $15 million. So that's why there's a lot of speculation saying why there's like this back and forth sort of thing. It's not really speculation. It's not, you know, anybody kind of making up stories. No, he is retiring. It's just a matter of money, of when to retire and when he can actually officially put in the paperwork to say that he's retired. He can't do that now. If he does, he loses $15 million because of the extension that he signed for 2 years last year. So it just all boils down to what makes sense and what doesn't. So that's why he can't necessarily do that. And I'm sure, and it's Tom Brady. So you know that he wants to retire on his terms, meaning I'm sure it's going to be through his social media, because if you're a fan of Tom Brady, you should know that he speaks to his fans often, you know, through social media. So I'm sure he's going to, you know, probably Instagram Live, Facebook Live, you know, his retirement, and have like this whole thing. So and rightfully so. I mean, you're the GOAT. Do what you want. But that's why when some people, because when I put up on my social media, I was like, yeah, Tom, you know, and don't get me wrong, I had my doubts too, because I have a lot of different sites that I get my information from, and I always don't go with the first one, even though I trust it, but it doesn't matter. Something that big, you always want to hold off on, especially when it goes to high-profile players. Like, do you make mistakes? Sure. I mean, who doesn't? If you've seen what I do, you would understand. Like, it happens. You can make a mistake. It happens, you know. You just retract it, you know, gracefully say, my bad, and keep it moving. But at the end of the day, you guys do need to know that he is retiring, though. He is retiring. So, like I said, I waited for a couple of news outlets to actually come out with it. I was like, I need Adam Scheffler. I mean, he's like the number one go-to. He's the senior NFL insider. So you should know, if you hear news from him, you know, it's because it's coming from the front office. You know, he's getting this from agents and players. He's not just, you know, just sitting down one day saying, oh, I want a story to write. Like, he's not that type of guy. Like, there are stories out there, but he's actually getting it from the horse's mouth, so to speak. So that's just, I'll just put it out there. And that's why Tom Brady's also staying quiet, because he has to. Like, it's a game you have to play. You can't come out and say one way or the other. You know, and it actually works in Gronkowski's favor, because I know a lot of people probably thinking like, oh, Gronk is his boy, but why wouldn't he tell him if he's retiring or not, so that way Gronk can make his decision and everybody else can make theirs, you know, because, but I mean, just if you just put all the pieces together, it just makes sense. The Buccaneers came out and said, like, not even like a week ago, was like, in the offseason, the person that they're concentrating on paying is Godwin. So I don't know, a logical person would sit back and say, if you have the best guy on your team is Tom Brady, happens to be the GOAT, you know, regular, you know, I'm going to pay Godwin first. Don't get me wrong, Godwin's a stud, but he's not Tom Brady. So the fact that they chose to concentrate on him, which further leads me to think Tom Brady's either not going to be there, or this is where he's wrapping it up, like he's ending his career. And he just brought a house down there, so I couldn't imagine him trying to go to another team and try to do something else and try to make it work. And also, he just, the offense coordinator is gone, guys. So the guy that he got along with, you know, is no longer going to be there. And that was my other hint. So I'm like, that means the OC must have known something. Because it's like, if I have a chance to coach, you know, Tom Brady, call plays for him one more year, maybe I might hold out one more year. McDaniels did it, right? Now he's got a job. You know? So that's my point. My point is, you know, when people put things up, you know, of course you want to question it. It's always good to do your due diligence and do your research. But at least when I do it, just trust the fact that I did my research. And there's a reason why I didn't retract anything that I put, because the people that I got the information from are not retracting what they put. It's because it's probably true. We just can't, you know, because otherwise we'll just be going back and forth, and you don't want that. Because do you really want a retraction just, I don't know, 5 months from now? We're kind of like, yeah, he's retiring. You know, like, it's just not good. So just know that he is. It just, no official word can be said about it due to monetary reasons, which should make sense to everybody. And by sheer chance that he does not retire, then I don't know what to tell you. But I'm definitely going to be sitting on this for a couple months. Nobody's, you know, retracting anything right now. It is what it is. Just look out for the stories. And also, I'm going to have a special podcast just commemorating to the great Tom Brady, because Lord knows he deserves it. I'm also going to have my top five quarterbacks coming out. It's hard. If you really want to sit there and try to figure out who's your top five, it's hard. But if you have a top five, let me know. I've heard other people's, but I don't know. You know me. I like to have my own opinion, my own thing, and I'm going to take my time with it. But, guys, I mean, it doesn't get any better than this. Sports is life. I'm out of here. Peace.
This is the Ripple Effect with your girl, K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.